worship you. We thank you for the great plan of your salvation wrought through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Thank you for the Word of God, Lord, and the instruction that it is, the understanding that it brings, and the example, oh God, that we've read here this morning in this Word. I pray, let the Holy Ghost work His mighty works that you have sent Him to do in this sanctuary here this morning with your Word. In Jesus' name we ask. And everybody said amen. You may be seated again this morning. In Joshua chapter number 4, verses 8 and 9, it says, "And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and they took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day." I want to preach this morning. The title this morning is Monument or Movement. It's already been referenced this morning about the church is alive. It's a living organism. Now, in the Old Testament, and I've just shared a few of these scriptures here with us, we find that Jacob, when he encountered God there at Bethel, and the angels were ascending and descending on that ladder there towards heaven, when Jacob arose up that morning, he took the stones which he had placed up for his pillows, and he turned around and erected them in a pillar for a remembrance of what God had done in that place. The same way with Joshua, and these are just a couple of the scriptures pertaining to the pillars in the Old Testament. Joshua took 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan. He had 12 men. So in other words, these stones were not just little stones. These stones were big stones. And he had them stack them up in a pillar where they lodged that night, and he also took 12 more stones from the river and stacked them up in the middle of the river where the priest stood, and the waters receded back. Just to refresh your memory, they walked across Jordan on dry ground in the flood season. Once again, God showing his power, and so they set up this pillar. And this is the terminology I want you to understand of what God had done. Had is the past tense. Hallelujah. Remember that. Monument or movement. In the Old Testament, they continually set up pillars. They set up stones to show and remember once again what God had done. The definition of a monument is something set up to keep alive the memory of a person or of an event. The definition of movement is the state of moving. Profound, isn't it? The state of moving. Synonyms to movement are progress, journey, advance, change, flow, action. Here's a couple antonyms: immobility, and I thought this one kind of ironic and yet strange, quiet. Monument or movement? Loud. Hallelujah. You know, when something's got a little life in it, it doesn't just sit still, does it? Praise our God. John chapter 1, verse number 1. Says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Praise our God. He is talking about none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. But here's the verse that I'm after. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. Not what Jesus had done, but who Jesus is, was the light of men. Now, have you ever read in the scripture says where Jesus charged you and I, charged his disciples first, but yet that means it's for you and I, ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works. Where do those works come from? The source. Life. Woo, hallelujah. In other words, Jesus' life, his movement, his actions, his deeds, his mind frame, his attitudes, woo, glory to God, was the light of men. Praise God. When Jesus told his disciples to go preach the gospel, he wasn't just telling them to go share words, though that was part of it. You got to hear the word, but just hearing the word, James told us, isn't good enough, because you got to become a doer of the word. Life, movement, hallelujah. Multitudes can hear the word and just be a monument. Glory. But a doer of the word is a movement for God. Hallelujah. You can be your own little movement for God, if you will. Glory to God. Because you can reach someone that I may not be able to reach. You may go places that I will not go. And thus you will become your movement, your life, living for Jesus Christ that will be seen of others that are around you. Hallelujah. Woo, praise God. How many have ever heard this little saying, actions speak louder than words? Praise God. And I realize I'm sharing words with you. I'm sharing knowledge with you in hopes and in prayer that it'll become life in you. Woo. Movement. Move me, Jesus, with your message. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we see that life that was in Christ Jesus was the light that men needed to see. Now in John chapter 10, verse number 10, Jesus told us that the thief, the devil, Satan, he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. What does he want to steal? What does he want to kill or snuff out? Life. Life. You see, he doesn't care if anybody believes in Jesus as long as there's no life in their belief. Doesn't bother him if somebody that acknowledges there is a God. But what scares him to death is a believer that's full of the life of Jesus Christ that is a movement unto themselves and a movement unto the community and a movement unto the church, and they are advancing and going forward and taking his territory. I mean, even in the military realm, unless you're taking the enemy's territory, you're not conquering, are you? The first place you got to take the enemy's territory is in you. I made a statement here not too long ago. If you're spending more time just battling your flesh than you are fighting the fight of faith, woo, you need to up it. You need to up the effort. You need to up the persuasion of your own mind, surrendering more to the Spirit of God so that you don't have to battle that whole man so much. Praise our God. Hallelujah. I mean, the Bible's really, really plain. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. I don't know how much more plainer it can get. I think even our kindergarten probably understand that statement. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I don't think it could get any plainer than that. It's not a matter of plainness. It's not a matter of knowledge. It's a matter of life. It's a matter of life, letting that life begin to flow and make us that movement, hallelujah, where we're progressing in the kingdom of God, where we're advancing in the kingdom of God, where we're changing and being conformed to the image of Christ, where we're flowing in the Spirit of God, thus producing action all around us, because people are wondering what in the world is going on in their life. Wow. Glory to God. But see, the thief comes, he wants to steal your life, he wants to kill out your life, he wants to destroy your life. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Wow, that sounds like advancement to me. That sounds like progress to me. That sounds like growth to me. That sounds like walking in the light as he's in the light to me. It sounds like the Word of God just starts having its way in my life. And I'm advancing because the life that Jesus Christ brings is an abundant life. And so he's not going to leave me like he found me. He finds me in sin. He washes away my past sin. Creates a new creature inside of me. Hallelujah. He will fill me with his Holy Ghost. And he will begin to reveal his Word to me that life might remain in me and it might change me. Woo, praise our God. If you haven't been changing lately, monument or movement? I'll move on here. I think I'm doing pretty good on my time here this morning. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Praise God. It's always been the tendency throughout the ages for man to drown his sorrows in drink. It's just all through Scripture. It's all through history. Alcohol has always been a problem, and then in the latter times, drugs, narcotics, just different things. But Paul says, don't go that route. It's not going to work. It's not going to help. It's just going to make things worse. If you really want a change in your life, be filled with the Spirit. Turn to Jesus Christ. Surrender that heart. Surrender that soul. Surrender that mind. Surrender yourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ so that your sins can be washed away, so that you can be filled with the Spirit of God, so that you can find peace. You can find power. You can find help. He's a present help in the time of need. And I like that scripture. I can't give you the exact context of it at this moment, but present is not past. He helped me back then. No, he's a present help in the time of need. Right now. Hallelujah. He's a right now kind of God. Hallelujah. So I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the Word of God with boldness. The common phenomenon of the church is to be filled with the Spirit of God. The connotation of filled is progressive. To be filled with the Spirit of God. It's not a one-time experience. It is progressive movement. Praise God. It's progressive. Hallelujah. You know, you would think, and as time rolls on, it does get easier. But you would think that once you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, that it would be easier to surrender to the Holy Ghost. But it's kind of like the first time that you rode a bicycle, you may have crashed. First time you took the training wheels off, you may have crashed. Just because you get baptized in the Holy Ghost doesn't mean you're not going to crash. The Holy Ghost is there to help, instruct, to lead, not make. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, how many's helped your son or your daughter learn how to ride a bicycle? I mean, we're using the bicycle here as this analogy, this illustration. And they were doing real good with those training wheels. And some of them have difficulty with training wheels because it hinders them. Actually, I've come across some that the training wheels hindered them more Because the minute they got them training wheels off and they got on that bicycle, off they took. You know. And so then that case, but you're coming along beside them. You're running behind. And when they really catch on, you're running way behind them, trying to give them what? Instruction. The brakes! Boom! Yeah. Well, see, the Holy Ghost gives instructions. But if we get too far out there, boom! I remember the first time my daughter rode a little motorcycle. It wasn't one of the automatic ones either. Had a clutch, you know. It was one of them old ATC 70s, Honda 70. And I found that, and I thought I found a treasure because it ran. And I put the kids out there, and Jason got out there. Got Lindsay out there, and she made her first lap around the yard. And when she come back, she swung too wide. There's a little car sitting over here in the driveway. When she turned around, there it was. And it was just you know, I'm hollering. I'm giving instruction the whole way. Oh, put on the brake. Pull in the clutch. Whew. You know. So just because you get baptized in the Holy Ghost doesn't mean you're real good at hearing instruction from the Spirit of God. And you might crash a time or two, but then when you do crash, you realize, I need to listen more closely to what God's trying to help me with. Hallelujah. And so this is progressive. It's life. It's the life of Jesus Christ. It's movement inside my soul. It's movement inside of my mind. It's movement inside of my heart. And that's why I worship the way I worship. That's why I praise the way that I praise. Because I'm not dead. I'm not dry. I'm not dull. I'm full of life. I'm vivacious. Living for God and loving every minute of it. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory. Sometimes I wonder if believers are loving every minute of it. Why do you run? Hallelujah, because there's no greater feeling in the whole wide world than to feel the Spirit of God, that joy, that peace, that assurance, that oneness with Jesus Christ. You see, God intends that every believer, every soul, receive Pentecost, be filled with the Spirit of God, and become a live wire in God's hand. You know, in the natural realm, a live wire is a dangerous thing. In God's realm, a live wire without leading of the Holy Ghost is a dangerous thing too. Because whether you realize it or not, some people are born live wires. Up with them, they're just live wires. That live wire's got to get under control of the Holy Ghost. Now that live wire will be the destruction of them. Also, but God wants you and I to be a live wire in the hands of the Spirit of God. Life, life, life.
Inside.
Life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Monument or movement? Pillar. God did this. That's real exciting. God did this. Jesus Christ is living inside of me. Hallelujah. And He has helped me today. Glory to God. And He is my King. He is my Lord. And everything about this day, He has blessed me. Woo, hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, that reality. I'm thinking on the good things. I'm thinking on the holy things. I'm thinking on the right. That's movement, is it not? Monument. movement. I'm thinking on the good things. I'm thinking on the holy things. I'm living righteously. I'm living holy. I'm walking with God. I'm looking. I'm seeking. I'm asking. I want to be challenged. I want to grow. I want to be progressive. Movement. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 3. I'll be closing with this portion of scripture here this day. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 14. I want to slow it down here. I want us to really hear what Paul is saying unto the church through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit inside, in the inner man. Movement. Hallelujah. Glory. You know, I've grabbed a hold of a live wire a time or two. How about you, Brother Cisneros? You ever got a hold of a live wire? You know, thought it was off and went and cut it, and sparks began to fly, and ooh, I've got a whole, wow, I ain't going to do that again. I mean, we were down in Mexico working in a mission down there, and we turned off all the breakers, turned off the breaker at the pole, and working on a light in the middle of the ceiling, and we're going, how in the world? I mean, we didn't go to the neighbors and start turning off their breakers, but somehow, some way, that wire was not on any of the breakers of that building. That's Mexico, praise God. You know, live wire. You see, we want a hold of the Holy Ghost on the inside of us, because that's when things are going to begin to change. Woo, hallelujah. That's when movement is going to begin to happen. Things are going to begin to progress. And so he says, first he says that you be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So for the child of God, priority number one, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Strengthened by the Spirit of God inside, because this is going to produce something, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. In other words, the Spirit of God strengthening me on the inside builds my faith in the reality that Christ is my Savior, and being rooted and grounded in love, I'm experiencing the love of God. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is the executor of God's love. He's the administrator of God's love. The Bible says that he pours out his love, sheds his love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. When the love of God gets deep down inside of you, hey, things are going to start changing in your life. You know, things are going to start changing in your mind. Attitudes are going to be rectified. Woo, hallelujah. If you're strengthened in the inner man, I'll just throw this in here as a little side note, rabbit trail, whatever you want to call it. We're going to shoot it at the end of it. Praise God, and it's going to be done. Hallelujah. Led by the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit of God. Here's the tendency of mankind. They get filled with the Spirit, they grab a hold of a victory, and they get to walk. I'm spiritual. And it ain't two more steps, pow, they're on their feet. It's not you. Get it in your head. It's not you. Jesus Christ said, consider yourself an unprofitable servant. When you've done what you're supposed to do, just consider yourself a happy unprofitable servant. Hallelujah. Because that's where the joy is at. That's where the peace is at. That's where the power is at, is when you become that unprofitable servant. You see no good thing in you. But all the goodness you see is in him. And you're thinking on the good things. You're thinking on the holy things. You're not thinking about how well you're doing. You're thinking about how much more you need to do. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. And so strengthened by might, glory to God, by his Spirit in the inner man, thus Christ dwelling there in that heart, that love dwelling in that heart, rooted and grounded. I mean, that's solid. That's the kind of tree that you want in your yard. One that's rooted and grounded. In other words, that root's going deep, that tap root's going deep, those side roots. And that tree is going to stand the test of the storm. But you find a tree that gets planted on top of a sandstone rock. Wrong rock. When that wind blows, down it goes. Why? Because it's not rooted. Grounded. Praise God. He wants us rooted and grounded in the love. How would you catch that? Rooted and grounded in love. He didn't say rooted and grounded in the Word. We're going to get to that here in a minute. He talks about that too. But he says rooted and grounded in love, because it's love that's going to help you stand every storm. It's that love of God inside your soul. Hallelujah. That brings a faith in God that, you know, whatever the wind may bring and however it may blow and whatever the enemy may try to rise up against me, my God is able. Woo, hallelujah. Because he's my God and he's dwelling in me, and I'm a movement. I'm not a monument. Hallelujah. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, being rooted and grounded in love. Oh, wow. I could preach for another hour just on that word. Love. The one that seems to evade us so often. Because sometimes we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, and thus love evades us. What does love bring? I esteem others greater than myself, no matter how wicked they may be. A lot of times, oh man, here we go, another rabbit trail. A lot of times, we get so detested by wickedness, we start taking it out on the wicked. Stop, think, pause. Hear. Just because somebody does something that's diabolical, doesn't mean they're diabolical. Could mean they just haven't learned yet. Tell me, how knowledgeable were you of God when you got saved? I was totally ignorant, even though I've been raised in church all my life. I was totally ignorant of the love and the power of God. When he saved me, I took everything that I learned. You've heard me say this before. Everything I learned in Sunday school, everything I learned in confirmation, everything I learned while I was there, I wadded it all up and I threw it in the proverbial trash can. And God said, now I'll teach you my ways. Some of it I could revive. Some of it was good that it was there. Hallelujah. Because he's after life. He's not after dead, dull ritualism. He is after life in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That you might be able, verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend. Now we're dealing with knowledge. Comprehend with all the saints. In other words, God's word is not different for anybody. Contrary to the belief of many congregations, it's all for the pastor and not for them. Well, that's the way the pastor's supposed to live. I don't have to live that way. God's word is for you. It's for me. It's for everybody. No private interpretation. It's God's word for all who will believe in him and be full of life. Part of that life. Comprehend. That means understand. God wants us to understand what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height. Everything. That covers all territory. Whether it's up, whether it's down, whether it's forward. Covers it all. He wants his people to understand his word and his ways exactly how he wants them to understand. So it's not left up for my private interpretation. I just have to follow life. I just have to follow Jesus Christ. I just have to follow the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. And he will begin to lead me and guide me as long as I will follow in all truth. Praise God. And then, here he comes again. He's already spoke about rooted and grounded in love. Now he speaks in verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, hang on, which passeth knowledge. God's not so much interested in how much you know about him. He's interested in how much you are living for him. Now he said, I'm going to give you the understanding of everything of my kingdom. That's how I take that, when it's the breadth, the length, the depth, the height. I mean, that covers it all. I'm going to give you that understanding. I'm going to give you that comprehension. But what you need to know more than that is the love of Christ. Wow. That mercy, that grace, that kindness, that forbearance, that compassion, that passion, that forgiveness. The love of Christ that passeth knowledge. Because this is the only way that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And the life is the light of men. I'm afraid so many times we come up so far short of life. I don't know if you've ever done this or not, but if you've ever declared to God or someone, you know, I'm just going this far and I'm not going any farther. This is just what I believe and I'm not going to believe anymore. Be careful. Pay attention. Lest those be the words that haunt you in a place called hell. That's what hell's going to be like. It's going to be everything you defied God about. Everywhere you told God you would not. If you don't repent of your rebellion against him. Wow. Love, the love of Christ. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You see, what I'm perceiving here and understanding is love supersedes knowledge. But it's not an excuse for lack of knowledge. This is why you have some that are so full of love, but they know nothing about God. But they got the love of God in them. And they love everybody. They're kind to everybody. They may not be living right, and they may have areas in their life that are kind of faulty. But they got love going on. But sooner or later, God's going to use that love to take them into knowledge. Wow. But he never wants knowledge to supersede love. Love's always first. Love suffereth long. You can go 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's not in my notes. Go read it this afternoon. Love takes care of a lot of attitude problems. Love takes care of a lot of unrighteous problems. Love takes care of a lot of criticalness problems. Woo! God of heaven. Monument. Knowledge. Or love. Movement. That you might be filled with. Don't you want the fullness of God in your life? Or do you just want to go to heaven? Monument or movement? What all do I have to do to go to heaven? That's what the rich young ruler said. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Keep the commandments. Yep, I got that done. Yeah. Did that ever since youth up. Jesus looked at him sorrowful. Why? He was missing the moment. He said, okay, that's how you want to do it. Go sell all you have. Give it all to the poor. Come follow me. Why did he do that to that rich young ruler? Well, the rich young ruler was trying to make his own way into heaven. He didn't really want that question answered. He wanted acknowledgement that he already had it. And so Jesus, more or less, in my opinion, he said, okay, then go sell all you've got, give it to the poor, and come right over here beside me, and let's walk together. He went to the very heart of the problem, the lack of humility and surrender. And to our knowledge, he just went away sorrowful because he was not willing to give it all for Jesus. Woo. Fullness of God. Do you want the fullness of God? Are you just trying to make sure you don't make it to hell? Jesus Christ is not a fire escape. Though he will escape you from the judgment and the wrath of God, he is the second person of the triune God that we need to have a relationship live and well. Movement. Movement. So that we might be filled with the fullness of God. Now I'm going to close. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. Here's that word again. Above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. That Holy Ghost of God. That faith in God. God's going to do as much as you will let him do. Tell me, where will God stop? He'll stop wherever you stop. But that's not abundance, is it? You know, if per se he has $1 million worth, and I'd be satisfied with 1,000. You put the math to that, and that's not a real bright choice, is it? And God says, I want to give abundance to your life. The only way that's going to stop, or that's the only way it's going to keep going, is if we don't stop it. And you and I, every one of us, have the power of choice to choose life or death. We have that power. Choose life. Exceeding abundantly above of what we ask or think according to the power the work of this. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Monument or movement? Life or staleness? Vibrant or at a standstill? Every one of us have come to places in our Christian life, unless you just got in and you've just gotten born again. Those that have been in Christianity a little while have come to places of staleness. That's why we begin to pray for revival. Revival's not really bringing something new to the plate, so to speak. Revival is refreshing what we've already had and experienced, but we've let it go cold. Wow. Monument. God is good. Hallelujah. Monument. Good preaching, preacher. What was that sermon about? Or movement. God. Fill me with your Holy Ghost. Freshen it. God, quicken this word in my heart this morning. This is why we always try to close with some type of prayer, because prayer moves you from the pew. Prayer moves you towards God. Prayer brings forth movement. Some may get up and move, but still not have movement going on. But our hope, our cry, our prayer, is when that power of God starts coming down, things start changing. Old things start passing away, and all things start coming new. Hallelujah. Praise be to God, because we want to be that movement for the Lord Jesus Christ, because He left monuments all years ago when we transpired and we moved from the old to the new. He left monuments behind, and everything became a living soul, a lively hope. Woo! Everything was alive since Jesus Christ died and rose again. That resurrection life has been the theme of the church throughout the ages, because we're not living in the old. We're living in the new. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost is writing the laws of God in our hearts. Woo, praise God. That we might not sin against God. That we might not disobey God. That we might not be self-righteous or self-willed. But that we are humbly moving forward with God. Woo, hallelujah. Stand with me. Could we have someone at the piano again this morning? Hallelujah, this afternoon. Let me correct myself. God is able. Wow, think about that just for a moment. God is able. God is able. God said, ask, and you shall receive. But I can't. Well, then you need to ask. With determination, I will. You know, sometimes it's so difficult. And we're all notorious. I'm kind of notorious for it. Been notorious for it ever since I was a kid. Using that terminology, somebody asks you to do something. Well, I'll try. What are you doing? You're leaving an inroad for escape if you don't.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're trying to make sure you keep face, look good, that you're really wanting to help. And you ain't really wanting to do it at all.
Yeah.
I'll try. Then when we get the opportunity, if we can get somebody else to do it for us, we will let them do it. And guess what? You know who really suffers the most from that? You. Because then you become susceptible to laziness, not willing to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And you're trying to live for Jesus on everybody else's prayers. And you have become a monument. You're there. Go through the motion, but there is no life that stirs in your soul to get you up doing something about your life, something about your condition, something about your way of living. Some folks call it gumption. I call it the choice to serve Christ. Whatever you lay your hand to, do it as unto the Lord. Wow. Praise God. Don't you just love God's word? Monument or movement. Praise God. Hallelujah. I got to close, but I want to drive this point home. There's a speaker by the name of Kent Hovind. Took a $5 bill, watered it up in a pop can. He was going to a school to do a lecture. He set that pop can right in the path of where every student was going to walk. Just right out there on the sidewalk, just a smashed pop can with a $5 bill in it. All those hundreds of students come in. And he began to talk about work ethic. Doing what's right. And after they'd all come in, he sent someone out there to get that pop can, because there wasn't one person that took time to stop and pick up that pop can just because they thought it was trash. But he pulled that pop can out and he said, "Has anybody seen this anywhere else?" All them kids, "Oh yeah, it was out there on the sidewalk when we came in." He said, "That's right." Kind of uncrumpled it, pulled the money out of it. He said, you missed the opportunity to be blessed because you weren't willing to stop and just pick up a piece of trash. Wow. How's that make you feel sometimes? How many times have you seen a Kleenex laying on the floor right there? And you just walked right by it. Oh, Brother Pepper would get it. Sister Pepper would get it. Somebody would get it. Why didn't you? Why didn't you? Hello. I'm talking about movement. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about doing whatever you do and wherever you are, you're doing it for Jesus Christ to glorify Him. Hallelujah. Whether you realize it or not, just stop and picking up an old Kleenex and throwing it in the trash. God will bless you for that. Because you were willing to sacrifice your time and your effort to do something that needed to be done, and you didn't have to do it. But you chose. Oh, you chose to be a servant of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Glory to our God. Monument or movement? Is there life flowing in your soul this morning? For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because He has done such great things for you and I. Hallelujah. And I don't have time to go into great detail of all He's done because we'd be here for a long time. The goodness of our God. Let's come. Let's come around the altars. Let's find us a place to pray. Let's ask ourselves the question, do I have movement going on in my life? Am I really serving my Lord, my Savior, my God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, oh, we bless your holy name. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your kindness unto us. Oh, God. Work in us, Lord, the wonderful works of Jesus Christ. Work in us, Lord God, that unprofitable servant's heart. Work in us, oh, God. Oh, Lord, you realize, you understand, sometimes we're weary, sometimes we're tired. Oh, Lord God, but help us not to opt out of life. Help us not to opt out of movement, oh, God. Oh, help us, oh, Lord God, to walk hand in hand with you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.